Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
We sing together our opening hymn, softly and tenderly. We rise as we are able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, turn our hearts toward you and bring us to repentance. Through your great mercy, grant us clean hearts and renew in us a right spirit. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
Our first lesson is from the book of Joel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 20. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, and the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Lenten verse, Hark, Real Presence Jesus Brings, to the tune of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke these words. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. Beware of practicing your piety before others to be seen by them. What's the purpose? What's the reward? What's the desired outcome? Practice, practice, and more practice. If you've played an instrument, if you've participated in sports, athletics, then you know what I'm talking about. And you can relate to what Jesus is saying when he says, practice, practice, practice. You see, our gospel for Ash Wednesday every year assumes the same thing. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is proclaiming the importance of practicing our piety publicly, but not to be seen by others, but so that as we let our light so shine before others, they may see our good works and give glory to our Heavenly Father. Practice, practice, and more practice, so that we eliminate mistakes, so that we become more proficient. Why do we practice? Is it just a matter of going through the motions, or because the coach or mom or dad says, time for practice? Do we practice because we have a yearning for it, a hunger for it? Because we know that it is in fact in the practicing that Jesus will be glorified, that the name of Jesus will be proclaimed, that the Father in heaven will give us a reward, which in truth is more of Jesus for you. And the more of Jesus for you is the more that we daily repent, practice our baptism, and receive the gift of forgiveness. Practice, practice, practice. I don't know where it was. I wish I could remember exactly. It probably was when I was, you know, looking on the internet and reading the news. Maybe it was on Facebook. But all of a sudden, I came across the video that caught my attention. If you know the name Steph Curry, maybe you've even seen the video. It's 5 minutes and 13 seconds long. And you might want to Google it tonight when you get home, just so you say, well, my pastor wasn't just blowing smoke, you know? He was actually telling me the truth. So here's what I saw. Steph Curry, you know he's a GOAT, right? Greatest of all times when it comes to sinking three-point shots. He's an NBA star for the Golden State Warriors. Well, in this video, I'm watching it, previously, I didn't know this, he had shot 77 three-point shots from the corner spot in a row. I'd be happy if I could just get maybe 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 20. This is amazing. And I'm watching it, and I'm watching the clicker. 25, 26, 27, 28. And I'm thinking, what is this about? He gets up to 105. And on the 106th, he misses it. Practice, practice, practice. I found out that this all took place in December of 2020. December 26th was a Saturday, a practice day for the Golden State Warriors, because the next day on Sunday, they were playing the Chicago Bulls. And if you want to be prepared, like for a concert, prepared like for a play, a drama, a performance, if you want to be prepared for the big game, you need to, well, prepare. Practice, practice, practice. And so that's what Seth Curry was doing. Practicing. What about us? When we hear Jesus' words in our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus says, beware, watch out, pay attention, keep your eyes open, beware. In other words, it's kind of a warning, right? Evidently, there are some people that are going to practice their piety, or maybe not practice it at all, but if they do, well, maybe to showboat, maybe to draw attention to themselves, so that their name is up in lit up neon sign letters. You know? Beware of practicing your piety in order to be seen by others, because then you have no reward from your Heavenly Father. In our gospel reading for tonight, which is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus assumes that practice is a non-negotiable. Practicing our faith, practicing our piety, practicing our God-given righteousness through the death and resurrection of Jesus, practice, practice, practice is a non-negotiable. It must happen. In fact, earlier in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, after Jesus has done the Beatitudes, the blessings, he then says, you know who you are, right? You know who you are, right? I mean, this is what Jesus is doing with the crowds that are assembled on the Mount, right? The Sermon on the Mount. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city on a hill. You know that, right? I mean, it's just a beautiful way for Jesus to start his sermon, I think. You know, right? You know who you are. Not who you have to work to try to become, as though somehow through our own efforts and works, we could then guarantee the performance. No, this is who you are already by the grace of God. So let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works. Practice, practice, practice your piety publicly so that they may see your good works. Why? So your Father gets the praise. Not so that you and I get a pat on the back. Not so that we get all kinds of accolades and recognitions. But so that Jesus gets all the credit. So that we live out our faith every day, driven by this blessed assurance of who we are in Christ alone. Now Jesus will go on and he will say, you know that unless your righteousness, your God-given faith, your piety, unless it exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't get into heaven. And in Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus says, you know, you must be perfect. Wow. Here we thought we had it all in hand, right? And Jesus just kind of ups the ante. I can't be perfect. I don't know about you. I mean, people say, well, practice makes perfect. No, I don't think so. It may in fact put us in the zone. It may make us more proficient and better at what we do. But all of your practice, all of my practice in the world is not going to make me perfect in the eyes of God. And we know that. So what if Matthew 5:48, when Jesus says, you must be perfect, what if we were to find out that it's actually a future tense verb? You will be, you shall be. Then we go, oh my goodness. So then what God requires, God also provides. What God says is necessary, he places upon his only begotten Son, Jesus, who goes to the cross for all of our sins, known and unknown, named and unnamed, for every single one of our sins. Jesus dies and perfects us in his forever love. What an amazing gift God gives. Right after Jesus says, You must be perfect. Immediately, we get chapter 6, verse 1, and Jesus says, so beware. It's all grace. So beware. Because you see, even with grace, we want to make God's free gift to us, our righteousness, our faith. We want to make it into some kind of a self-acclamation, into some kind of a self-performance. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, that's what we do. We turn the gift into my own hypocrisy. You heard that in the gospel for tonight. Hypocrites, 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 right? Why is it that we practice? We know the answer. Jesus says that we do it publicly for his praise and not for our own proclamation. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. I was visiting with Karen Peterson on the phone, and she was telling me about her recent visit to the oncologist. And she said, I went in there. They're going to be starting me, she said, on some radiation. She's had surgery to have the tumor removed. And so the doctor, the oncologist, is meeting with her. And he says, so Karen, how are you handling your stress? How is your stress? Now remember, Karen's in her 80s. And Karen looked at him with this calm presence of Jesus. And Karen goes, I don't have any stress. I mean, I could almost, if I was there, see Karen wanting to apologize to her oncologist for not having stress. I don't have any stress. You see, I never planned on being here on earth forever. Way to go, Karen! I never planned on being here on earth forever. You see, I'm waiting for heaven. My eternal place is with Jesus in heaven. I know that he's got this. And so I don't have any stress. So what happens when faith is proclaimed or practiced publicly when one is visiting with one's oncologist? You know what he did? This doctor at Mayo? He stood up and he just wrapped his arms around Karen. You can see it, can't you? God comes to us in the places and in the ways where he has promised to be full of grace for you, for me. In the word that is properly preached, in the sacrament that is properly administered, purely, properly, for the grace of God, for the glory of the Father. Jesus promises that where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. Jesus promises, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Jesus promises that he's going to prepare a place for you, for me, for Karen in heaven. And when it's prepared, he's going to come. He's not going to send somebody else on a little errand. He says in John 14, I will come and I will take you to the place that's prepared for you so that where I am, you may be also. You see, God is showing up all the time in expected places where he has promised to be for you, for me. And Karen knows that. And so all of a sudden, in an unexpected place, I mean, it wasn't exactly in church, in a worship service. Or was it? If your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, a portable worship space, and if Jesus is saying that we will be practicing our piety, you see what happened? It was a word of grace that was proclaimed in maybe an unexpected place This morning I went in, you know, you pray for me. I appreciate that. I thank God for you and your prayers. I went in and I had my blood work and I had my CT scan. And as we're waiting at Mayo, they were running behind lots of people all over the place, maybe too close. But I noticed that there was one of the people, you know, there's about a dozen people that come out and they say your name and you're supposed to go in and then they do the blood draw and stuff. If you've been through that, you know what I'm talking about. And there was one gal, she had on her forehead an ash cross. You know what I'm talking about. We're going to have crosses tonight. This is Ash Wednesday. She had a cross on her forehead. I thought, huh, I wonder if she's Roman Catholic. You know, we all make assumptions when we see things, right? But here it is, right out in public. Well, lo and behold, about a half hour after my appointment time, they called my name. And who was it? Out of the 12 or so that it could have been, who was it? It was this gal with this ash cross on her forehead. So as we're walking back in there, I say to her, "Blessed Lent to you. Blessed Lent to you." And she's looking at the sheet of paper. She said, "Oh, you're a pastor." We went in, and then as they were doing the blood draw from my port, the one guy that's in there, they're both in their 20s, young people. And the guy says, "So, you're a pastor. How'd you decide to become a pastor?" Don't you love it? Don't you love it when God surprises you in places, in ways that you maybe didn't expect? So I got to tell him, "Well, you know, it's because I can't do anything else." I don't think he understood at first, but I said, "You know, it's when God overwhelms you in such a way that you realize, I just gotta preach. I just gotta preach." And I said, "You know, there are people." I said, "I'll be honest with you." I told this young man, this gal's listening. I said, "There are people that only teach because they get the summers off." I said, "There are people that should never have gone to seminary. They're not doing it because God has called them. They maybe look at it as a career choice, a decision that they've made. But I got a chance to bear witness to the gospel that I can't imagine my life in any other way than being able to share the good news of Jesus with others and how he died for the forgiveness of all of our sins." I said, "I know teachers like that, that they go the extra mile and they're doing lesson prep in the summer." I said, "I know all kinds of people in all kinds of professions that are practicing their faith. They're doing it. They're living it publicly. Not so that they can get a pat on the back, but for the praise of God." And then after they did that, the blood draw, I'm going out and this gal with the cross on her forehead, I said, "So tell me, what church do you go to? Where do you worship?" She said, "At a Lutheran church in Chatfield. St. Paul's Lutheran, Missouri Synod." I said, "Well, I don't know your pastor there, but I know some of the other pastors here in town." And I said, "I'll be praying that God wraps Jesus around you and that you are blessed during the 40 days of Lent with Christ." You see, when Jesus says, "Beware," he realizes that we can all be two-faced because we're sinners. And so daily we need to repent and believe in the good news. Repent and believe in the good news. Repent and believe in the good news. We practice and practice and practice. And God says, "You must be perfect, so I'm going to see to it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'll take care of it for you. You can trust me. You can live by faith because I'm going to make you perfect. Because you're my child. Because you are the salt. You are the light. You are a city on a hill. And when you forget, I'm going to send a preacher When you forget, I'm going to send a preacher to remind you of who and whose you are, and why it is that we practice and practice and practice. You know, I began my sermon by telling you about this amazing thing I stumbled on. I didn't expect it, but I stumbled on it. Seth Curry. You know, it isn't just basketball that he practices. I hope you know that. And if not, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what he practices, and you can even find out more by going online and doing a little research. Seth Curry was raised in a Christian family, Charlotte, North Carolina. He was raised in a family where every Sunday they went to church. Practice, practice, practice. Every Wednesday night, youth group church. Practice, practice, practice. And you know what his mama did every morning? Seth Curry's mother got the kids up a little bit early than they need to be, because they always had morning devotions and prayer, because she wanted to make sure that her children knew that the centerpiece of our family and the centerpiece of your life needs to be Jesus. And so the faith of Jesus was instilled in his life all through his growing up. His father, I didn't know this, Steph Curry's father played in the NBA basketball 16 years. And when he retired in 2002, then the family moved back to Charlotte, North Carolina, where he attended the same church. He was about an eighth grader. It's where he met his wife. You know, he and his wife have three kids. He met his wife in youth group, in church. And it was about an eighth grade when, in a conversation with his pastor, he realized, you know, the faith that I have is real, but it's the faith of my family. What about my personal faith with Jesus? And so Steph Curry, he says, God called me in one of the worship services to come up to the altar, and not just to give him a portion of my life, but to lay the whole life at the altar as Jesus did for me. And so he did. And so he's practicing, not just so that he can make 77 or now 105 three-point shots in a row. No, he's practicing so that publicly, whether he's on the court or off the court, people will see Jesus. He said, I try to look for open doors and opportunities to tell people the good news. But I, more importantly, want to make sure that people are able to see through my actions that I am putting my faith in Jesus into practice. His mama said, Steph, you need to have a Bible verse that will guide your life, that will remind you daily of your purpose and who it is that has given you all your gifts and abilities. I didn't know this, but he started out writing on his basketball shoes, my God will supply. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He said, every time I lace up my sneakers to play basketball, I remember why God has given me these abilities, and I remember why it is that I play basketball, for the Father's glory. So beware, Jesus says, Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. Because then you've already got your reward, which is earthly and temporal and ending. Steph is passing on the faith to his children. When he drives his two little girls to school, he prays. He keeps his eyes open, I'll tell you that. Right? He's not trying to be distracted. He's not like folding his hands off the wheel and shutting his eyes. He's praying out loud while his girls are in the car. And one of the prayers was online that I read. It goes something like this. Dear Lord, dear gracious Father, thank you for giving me the kids that I have, the marriage I have, the family I have. I love my girls. And Father, I'm praying that today they're going to have a great day and they're going to be made so happy and that they're going to behave in a good way. Thank you for the blessings you've given me, Father. In Jesus' name. And then suddenly you hear three voices. Amen. Father and both of his daughters. You see what he's doing? He's passing on the faith. The faith that was first given to him. He still wears number 30. He wore it in college. He wears it for the Golden State Warriors. It was the number that his father wore on the basketball court as well. Practice, practice, practice. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. May Lent be a season of great joy and great grace and great practice, practice, and more practice for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able, chief of sinners though I be. Congregation may be seated. Brothers and sisters, God created us to experience joy in communion with Him, to love all humanity, and to live in harmony with all of His creation. But sin separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation, and so we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended for us. Also, by our sin, we grieve our Father, who does not desire us to come under His judgment, but to turn to Him and live. As disciples of the Lord Jesus, we are called to struggle against everything that leads us away from love of God and neighbor. Repentance, fasting, prayer, and works of love, the discipline of Lent, help us to wage our spiritual warfare. I invite you, therefore, to commit yourselves to this struggle and confess your sins, asking our Father for strength to persevere in your Lenten discipline. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another, and before the whole company of heaven, that we have sinned by our fault, by our own most grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven.
Have mercy on us, O God.
We have shut our ears to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our past unfaithfulness, the pride, envy, hypocrisy, and apathy that have infected our lives, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to share the faith that is in us, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our neglect of human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. May these ashes be a sign of our mortality and penitence, reminding us that only by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ are we given eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I want to invite you then, when you came tonight, you received a vial of consecrated ashes. These are from our palm fronds, so you can take them out now. There's also a wet wipe in your packet. There is also a Q-tip if you choose to use that. And what I want to invite you to do is to open it up, and if you're by yourself, if you are with a spouse, if you are with your child, if you're with someone, then in the group that you're with, then you can safely anoint each other. And I'm going to actually open my wet wipe first so that I already have it out and available. And then once I have done that, so that that's available, then I'm going to take my index finger, and after I have taken off the top, you just simply unscrew the top of your container. I'm going to put my pointer finger You can see what I've done. I put it in there and rubbed it around. And then Julie, I will anoint her. You want to move your things there? There you go. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And I'll do this also for myself so that she won't have to worry. Remember, David, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And I invite you with your families and individuals to do that as well now. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And once you've done that, you'll have your wet wipe that you can use then to take the ashes off of your finger. And then you can put all of the stuff, put the top back on. And then it can all be put inside. And then as you leave tonight and receive communion, you can just simply put this in a basket that we have back there. And then after we've taken care of all this stuff, then we'll take care of what's left here as well. Okay? We continue then with our confession of sin. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation,
that we may show forth your glory in the world.
By the cross and passion of your Son, our Savior,
bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
Let us enjoy just a moment of silence, thanking God that we can daily repent and believe in the good news. We continue with our prayers. Please rise as you are able.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you do not want us to receive your grace in vain, because you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, work in the lives of each of us so that we return to you with all our heart. Because where our treasure is, there will our hearts be also. Set our hearts on you, on your Son, your Spirit, and your life-restoring Word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, on this Ash Wednesday, we beg you to send your Holy Spirit to draw each of our hearts to Christ. Renew your baptized people and cleanse us from all our sin, that we store up for ourselves the true treasures of heaven. Create in us new hearts, that we rededicate ourselves in this holy season to publicly practicing our piety in prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, by your word and spirit, turn to faith in Christ the hearts of those who live without him. Grant to them the joy of your salvation and the peace of knowing him who had no sin but became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in the way and at the time you know is best, bring healing to all who are sick, injured, preparing for surgery, recovering, or in distress, especially those we name before you.
Gracious Father, we pray for Timothy Keller, for Barb Stephenson, for Karen Peterson, for Dan Brooklyn, for McKenna Studer, for Kelly Stoyles, for Keith Hammerbeck. We pray for Daryl Bothan, for Tim Johnson, for Julie Blanchard. We pray, Lord, for Brian Belter and his daughter Erin. We thank you for the successful transplant surgery, and we pray for complete recovery and healing. And we pray, Lord, that they would be vessels of your praise, that others see, and that they give glory to you.
And we pray for our pastor. Comfort all who mourn, provide for those who are seeking jobs, and give peace to all who are anxious about the cares of life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, turn our hearts as we come to the table of our Lord this day to recognize the enormity of our sins, so that our faith may be strengthened by the even greater forgiveness bestowed on us in Christ's body and blood. Inspire in each of us a life filled with good works that glorify you, so that others may see your compassion and give you glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we give you thanks for the servant work of CMAC down in Florida. We pray your blessings, Lord, upon Larry and the entire crew of servants, for what they preach is not themselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear our petitions, Heavenly Father, for we pray in your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Lord and only Savior.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, our living water, our merciful guide, together with rivers and seas, wells and springs, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and provided them with water from the rock. We praise you for Christ, our rock and our water, who joined us in our desert, pouring out his life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new promise in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin, that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing together our communion hymn, In Christ Alone. And you'll notice that as we sing the hymn, that all sing verse 1 and 4, men on verse 2, women on verse 3.
In Christ alone, my hope is found.
That's going to be our Lenten hymn. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. In Christ alone. Let us pray. Merciful God, accompany our journey through these 40 days. Renew us in our baptism that we may practice our piety. Provide for those who are poor, pray for those in need, fast from self-indulgence, and above all, that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Just a couple of announcements. I remind you that we ask you to wait for the usher. Lee Pierce is going to give you directions as far as receiving communion so that we can do it safely, and it'll be one household at a time that way. And then also, as you're leaving tonight, remember it's our tradition to have soup suppers with Lent, but we're not able to do that in the traditional way. So we have safely gotten soup for you that you can take home with you. We have some that we're also sharing with some of our shut-ins as well. There's potato soup with bacon, delicious. There's chicken noodle soup, obviously with lots of chicken and some vegetables and broth. So you can't go wrong, but you can have a serving of one of those as you leave tonight, along with the body and blood of Christ that you will receive, which is the nourishment, the reward that Jesus talks about. It is the treasure that you take with you, not just in the body, but in the soul as well. The other announcements are found in your bulletin, and I encourage you to read them. They're also posted in the bulletin online as well. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
We sing together, there's a wideness in God's mercy. Our dismissal during the season of Lent are these words: repent and believe in the gospel, to which we will say, thanks be to God. Repent and believe in the gospel. Thanks be to God.